I want to start my sermon today by giving you a couple of phrases. A couple of these are from the Bible, a couple of them from culture, a song. And let's see if you can, if you recognize these phrases and can finish the blank. So here's the first one. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it. Okay, you're pretty good. That's exactly right. How about this one? What's the word here? Use it or. Aha, very good. All right, how about this one? Whoever has ears to hear, let them. Ooh, you did better than the first congregation, first group. I don't know what's going on the other campuses, but that, good here, all right? And then this one here. Can you hear me? A couple of you got that. You remember the commercials from a couple years ago? I guess it's like 20 years ago. All right, we'll come back to that. And then this last one, how we hear determines how we. Yeah, right. Nobody got that because I haven't said it yet. So you shouldn't know it yet, but you'll hear it later on. Here's how it goes. How we hear determines how we grow. And all of those phrases have to do with our text this morning. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 8, and each one of those phrases somehow fits into what I'm going to be saying from verses 16 through 18. And once you find Luke 8, 16, let's all stand to our feet. And I'll read out of the New International Version. It's especially that phrase, can you hear me now, that I want to pick up on. Because it's actually a pretty good way of summarizing these three verses from verse 16, 17, 18. You won't see the phrase, can you hear me now? But you'll hear something similar to it. And I'm going to make a case for why I think that phrase summarizes what Jesus is saying in these three verses. So here we go. Verse 16, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put this light on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. All right, let's have a seat. And especially that phrase at the beginning of verse 18, therefore consider carefully how you listen. That's a phrase that we've heard before as we've walked through Luke chapter 8. But it's especially these verses 16 through 18. So I just kind of crammed them all in there together. And I've slapped that label. This is the name of the sermon, the title of the sermon, by the way. Can you hear me now? I think this is what Jesus is doing with these verses. And it can be hard to see what I mean by that because there's two different metaphors that Jesus is using. And it doesn't look like can you hear me now even fits with that, but let me show this to you. The first metaphor is this idea of a light that's set on a stand and everyone can see that. And so we're the metaphor of seeing, the metaphor of light. And then he ends it by using this phrase, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. So you have seeing and you have hearing, and it doesn't feel like those two go together. But the word therefore helps us understand that Jesus, because whenever we see the word therefore, we're going to ask what it's there for, right? That's a little trick we play. The word therefore is a connecting word that connects the words that went before with the words that are about to come, right? So whenever we see that word, we're like, okay, let's pay attention to what was just said, and that's going to get connected to what we're about to see, and that's going to help us like summarize. Here's the point. Therefore, you know, the point, or therefore, this is what I'm urging you to do. And when you look at these verses, he talks about a lamp and seeing, and then he says, consider carefully how you hear, and it just doesn't fit, and the word therefore doesn't help us unless, keep your Bibles open, unless we recognize that the word therefore is not just pointing back to the verses 16 and 17, in other words, just the words right before, but it's pointing all the way back to the beginning of this chapter, chapter 8, around verse 5, where Jesus tells this parable. So let me help you see this. The verses 16 through 18 is called the parable of the lamp, and the verses 5 through 15 is the parable of the soils, right? If you've been here the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the parable of the soils. Your Bible might have these separated. Mine does. It thinks that the parable of the lamp is like a completely different thing. But I think Jesus is saying with the parable of the lamp, pay attention to what I just said in the parable of the soils. Can you hear me now? In fact, I think this is what Jesus is saying to you today. Not just to the disciples of that day, but to me, to you, I believe that Jesus is saying to you today, can you hear me in these parables? Can you hear what I'm saying about your life? And so I want to challenge you. Can you hear, have you been able to hear what Jesus is saying in these parables? They're not just cute stories. They are kind of cute. But remember, a parable is a story with a lesson. So the parable of the lamp has a lesson. Do you know what it is? The parable of the soils has a lesson. Do you know what it is? Are you able to hear the message that Jesus has? Because if you can, it can completely change your life. But if you can't hear me now, Jesus would say, then you're not only missing out today, you're missing out for the future. So let me help you see what I'm saying about this. We've read the parable of the lamp. I want to now go ahead and read again the parable of the soils. And this time, instead of thinking about it as the parable of the sower or the parable of the soils, I want you to think about it as the parable of hearing, not just because the word hearing shows up a lot, but because I think this parable of the soils, the parable of hearing, is what Jesus is talking about in the parable of the lamp. So stay with me. Let's read verses 4 through 15. And as I read it, and as you hear, because I'll be the only one speaking, as you hear this parable, be thinking, this fits with the parable of the lamp. This fits with the whole idea of when you have a lamp, you put it on a stand. And I want you to be thinking with me, how does the parable of the soils, the parable of the healing fit with this idea of being a light on a stand? Here we go. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from a town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path and it was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground. When it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. It was dry and rocky. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times. Remember this, 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, can you hear me now? Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples were not sure, so they asked him, what does this parable mean? And he said, now I want to get you more engaged in this. Every time you see the word hear or hearing, I want you to say it out loud with me. Okay? So you have to track with me. Jesus says in verse 10, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, and though hearing they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed that's being sown is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who, and then the devil comes and takes the word away from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they, I can't hear you in Vermilion, Avon Lake, Lorraine, I need everybody to be engaged here. Hear the word. Where did I stop? Those on rocky, did I do this? Verse 13, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature, key word. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So if you're new with us, let's just make it clear that the seed is the word of God, and as it's being sown, it lands in our hearts. And then Jesus says, there's four kinds of people. This is true today. As I'm sowing, there's four kinds of people. Those who are represented by the hard soil, the hard hearts, the rocky hearts, the thorny hearts, the good soil, the fertile hearts. And you notice that all four people, all four soils have seed. All four people hear, all four groups of people hear the word, but only one grows to maturity. Is that you? Which group are you in? If you have a hard heart, you're probably not going to wave your arm right now and go, that's me, man. I'm so proud of my hard heart. But is that you? Just because you're in church doesn't mean you don't have a hard heart. You may have been dragged here, or you may just be here because this is what you do. You just go to church. Remember the hard-hearted people in Jesus' day, who were they? The Pharisees. They were the most, they never missed church. They were the most religious. They didn't have church. They never missed the synagogue. They were the most religious people around. So just because you're religious, just because you know the Bible, just because you hang around religious people, doesn't mean you have an open heart. In fact, one of the tragedies of religious people is they have a hard heart and don't even know it. So which one are you today? Hard heart, rocky heart, dry heart, thorny heart? Lots of weeds choking things out? Are you good soil? Are you singing the song, Good Soil, right now? Yeah, that's me. I want to be good soil. I love that song. So that's what we're thinking about. But this whole parable, that's why I'm considering calling it the parable of hearing. It all comes down to how you hear, right? You could write this down. How you hear determines how you grow. That's one of those phrases we started the sermon off with. How you hear is how you grow. Because since all four people groups heard, but only one matured, there's a way of hearing where you don't hear anything. And there's a way of hearing that's like, yes, I get it. I understand. I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey. I'm going to live it out in my life. And what Jesus is saying in the parable of the lamp, our text today, verses 16 through 18, is that that parable of the lamp connects with the parable of the soil, the parable of hearing. What it's saying is that when those of you who have really heard what I'm saying, those of you who can hear me now, you're like a light that's shining. You've been given light. Light has been shined into your life. And now that you have the light, nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a clay jar. Now that you have the light in your life, now that you understand, put that light, you know, now that you're the shine, let the light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Now that you've got that light, don't hide it. So when you go to work, don't hide the light. Don't put it under the clay jar. You understand. You've been listening. You get what I'm saying. So at home, shine the light. At work, shine the light. In the neighborhood, now that you get it, you've got light. You understand what I'm saying now? So these two parables, even though they're separated in your Bible, should not be separated. They go together. And one interprets the other. So since we have heard the word, those of you who have, I hope it's all of you, but the chances are that there are some of you who aren't hearing today, but I'm going to just trust that most of you are. I'd love to see that. Since how you hear determines how you grow, Jesus says in the New Living Translation, I'm going to use that translation for the rest of the sermon, since how you hear determines how you grow, pay attention. Therefore, or again, in NLT, so pay attention to how you hear and listen to how the New Living Translation puts this. Because to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from it. Use it or lose it. That's what that passage is saying. So I want to use that phrase, pay attention, for all three of our points, if you're taking notes today. And it all comes from this idea of since how you hear determines how you grow, then pay attention to what you've heard in the parable of the soils that we've talked about the last 4 weeks, because what you've heard is a light. Pay attention to what you've heard, because what you've heard is a light. Now, those of you who read your Bibles on a regular basis, you might have picked up that this idea of light shows up again and again and again to refer to the Word of God, to the teaching of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and whoever listens to my teaching walks in the light. So this is not an uncommon thing. The Apostle Paul picks up on this in Acts 26 when he says, the Messiah, that's Jesus. The Bible says, the Old Testament says he would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead would bring, and Paul calls this the message of Jesus, the message of light. And as he brought this message of light, he's brought it to you, his own people, that's the Jews, and then to you and I, the Gentiles. So this is the way Paul kind of summarizes the teaching of Jesus. It's a message of light. And what does light do for us? Well, it guides us, doesn't it? Pay attention to what you've heard in the parable of the soils, because what you've heard in that parable is a light to guide your path. You all know this verse from Psalm 109, Psalm 119, 105. Can I see your hands if you know this verse? If you don't have your hands up, memorize this verse. It's a short verse. Whoops. You're going, what verse, Jim? That verse. Yeah, y'all know that verse? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why? To guide me. The Bible is saying that the scriptures will guide your life. But not just to guide you, but notice back in our parable of the lamp, Jesus says, when you have a light, you put it on a stand so that those, so this is not just for you now, this is for the people around you, your family, those who are in your life, those who might be coming into the house, those that come in can see the light. In other words, pay attention to what you've heard, because it's a light that will guide you, and it's a light to help others. What you've heard is a light to help others. What does Jesus mean by this? What he means is that whenever you hear truth, and I hope you're hearing some this morning, it's not just for you. Whatever you learn, it's to be passed on to others. And one of the biggest, I don't know whether I should say mistakes or whether I should use the word sin, but one of the worst things, I'll just say it this way, one of the worst things we can do is to learn something from God's word and keep it to ourselves. But guess what? That's what most of us do. Because we're like, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I don't have those spiritual gifts. I mean, isn't the Bible just for me? I'll give you a chance to answer that. Isn't the Bible just for me? Isn't it just for you? No, it's for those around you. Because the one who said, I am the light of the world, then pointed to his disciples and said, and now you are the light of the world. So Jesus says in the parable of the lamp, verses 16 to 18, pay attention to what you've heard, because what you've heard is a light to help others. And this is why I believe these parables are slammed together, because if you heard what Jesus was saying in the parable of the soils the past 4 weeks, and you've learned that this parable teaches us how to hear in a way that retains the word, in a way that helps us persevere in the word. We call it hearing as a capital H-E-A-R. There it is. Learning to hear God's word for ourselves should create a yearning to share God's word with others. Which brings us to the third thing that light does. Isn't this true? Light reveals. Pay attention to what you've heard in the parable of the soils, because what you've heard is a light to help you, to help others, and it reveals. have you really heard? It reveals the condition of your heart. The light of the Word of God shines, and it reveals that Jesus says that the light has come into the world, and the world has tried to put it out because the world prefers the darkness. The light reveals the condition of your heart. Or to go back, if all you're doing is soaking up the Word for yourself and you're never sharing it with others, we have to ask the question, are you really hearing what Jesus is saying? You can grasp a lot of what Jesus says, but miss the main thing Jesus says, right? That describes a lot of people. I grasp a lot of what he says, but you miss the main thing. So, since how you hear determines how you grow, pay attention to what you've heard. And now this verse 18, pay attention to how you hear. Two different points. Pay attention to what you've heard, and now pay attention to how you're here. This is what we've been talking about the last couple weeks, so I can review this pretty quick. The acronym, if you've been here, you've seen the words here, what that acronym means, that Jesus is trying to teach us a way of hearing. But it's not just Jesus. The Old Testament, the New Testament, multiple writers are in the Bible are trying to teach us how to hear, and it's by, seen for us in James chapter 1, where he says, humbly accept the word planted in you. So James is using the same metaphor Jesus did. The word of God is like a seed that's planted in you. Humbly open yourself to hear that. And then the second word, accept. Humbly accept. So we talked about it with these kind of hand motions. Open yourself to hear the word of God. Whenever the word's being preached, whenever it's being taught, whenever you're reading it, humbly open yourself to hear God's word. And then watch this. Then eagerly accept it. Embrace it. Welcome it into your life. Receive it. Accept it. So open myself humbly. Eagerly accept it. And then from Luke chapter 11, we talked about those who hear are the ones who obey. Those who really hear. You prove your hearing by your obeying. That's the act of obedience we talked about. And then the last one, which was last week, Jesus says, those with a good and noble heart who hear the word, retain it. That's that word retentive. Like a retention pond, you retain the water. Like a student who retains the professor's teaching, I retain it. It's retentive, and then I persevere in it. And now that is the picture of biblical hearing. Whenever we talk about the acronym HEAR, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about hearing words. We're not talking about beginning to understand. We're talking about, have you proved that you've heard by the act of obedience in your life and by you holding on to it, persevering, it staying with you? Now, you're asking yourself the question, well, which one am I? I've been sitting on this excursion guide all sermon long. We've provided these excursion guides for y'all. I've been inviting you to get in a life group and to go through it. We had some people that joined our life group this past week for the first time. So, you know, you can get in anytime you want. And on page 84 of this excursion guide, I wrote a hearing test. And so I invite you to go home. If you've got your excursion guide at home, if you don't have it, then try to grab one as you leave. And it's really an easy, simple hearing test to help. It's got multiple phrases. And as you read those, you were supposed to just kind of monitor your own heart and say, which one of these phrases in this hearing test in the excursion guide represents my heart, represents my attitude, represents my life? And that way, you're not being deceived about, oh, I think I'm a really good hearer, when actually you're not. Because clarity is your friend, right? Clarity is kindness. The clearer you are about the condition of your heart, the more you can do something about it. One of the worst places to be is a position of self-deception. I think I'm this, when in reality, you're not. So this is supposed to be a tool to help you do that. The hearing test is on page 84. Write that down so you can go through it this next week as a part of the whole excursion experience. And we're inviting you to start practicing this. And what I'd love to see happen is that you memorize the HEAR acronym because you practiced it. Because every time you open the Bible, you're remembering, I want to humble myself to hear God's word. I want to, well, actually, let's say this all together out loud on all the campuses. When we hear the word of God preached or taught, we want to hear with, let's say it together, humble openness, eager acceptance, active obedience, and retentive perseverance. Remember, that last one is kind of tricky. I'm retaining it. And I'm keeping at it. I'm persevering. Let's say it again. When we hear the word of God preached or taught, we want to hear with humble openness, eager acceptance, active obedience, and retentive perseverance. I don't know how many of you are going to do this, but my hope is that many of you will. Do you read the Bible every day? Do you hear the word preached every week? I know some of you actually come and hear the word preached, and then you listen to podcasts. So you're hearing the word all different. Every time you hear it, I want to invite you, humble openness, eager acceptance, active obedience, retentive perseverance. And this becomes a pattern in your life that you put into practice what you hear. We're going to talk more about that next week. So we want to pay attention to how we hear, and we want to pay attention to what we've heard. And then finally, I would say, we want to pay attention to how we respond. Pay attention to how you respond in your life. These last verses that Jesus talks about to paying attention to his teaching are a little bit strong, and actually it's a warning there. And what Jesus is saying actually refers back to something he said in verse 10. If you still have your Bibles open, I hope you do. Jesus is talking about seeing and hearing, right? The lamp so you can see and the word so you can hear. That goes back to verse 10 where he says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you all, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not hear. There's the seeing and the hearing again. You see that? You hear that? You see that? You hear that? I love the New Living Translation here because it helps us see that this quote from Isaiah is something that Jesus is quoting as a fulfillment. So it goes like this. To you all, I've shared the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I speak in parables to everyone else. In order to fulfill the scripture from Isaiah 6, in order to fulfill the scripture that says, some will see but never see, some will hear but never hear. It's not just Isaiah 6. It's not just an Old Testament passage. Jesus is saying that I know that as long as they're human beings, they'll see but not see. They'll hear but not hear. It's prophesied. And so multiple times in Jesus' ministry, he quotes from this passage in Isaiah 6. Paul, the Apostle Paul, quotes from this passage because it's one of those prophecies that just keeps coming true again and again and again. In fact, every time the word is preached, this prophecy comes true. There'll be people who see but don't see. There'll be people who hear but don't hear. It's just not registering. And remember, Jesus said, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. So that's where he's going with this next verse and our last verse. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. Stop with that. Haven't you found this to be true in your life? I know I have. The more I study the Bible, the more I understand. The more I put the Bible into practice, the more I seem to get it. If all I do is study it, but I don't live it, then I start losing some of it. You use it or you lose it. That's what we're talking about in the beginning. I was telling the first crowd that I love to go back and read the first Bibles that I started to study when I was just a young Christian. I was raised in the church, and so I was raised to know the Bible, but I didn't fall in love with the Bible until I kind of recommitted my life in college. I've told the story about how God changed me, and I just fell in love with the Bible, and I started devouring it. And the first Bible I fell in love with was the Living Bible. Anybody remember the Living Bible? I mean, I wore that sucker out. I just said the Bible was a sucker. That's not good. Please delete that. I wore it out. I still have it on my shelf, and I kind of look at it and laugh every once in a while. And I love to open it up and read it because there's young Jim, young Christian Jim. You know, I'm just learning so much, and I'm writing things in the margins, and sometimes I laugh and I go, well, that's not exactly right, Jim, but your heart was right, you know. All zeal, but not a lot of knowledge. But then since I've got all these Bibles that I've worn out, I can read in the margins and see my growth over the years. That I've grown in understanding. I've grown in my ability to interpret the word and live it out. And it's just kind of encouraging sometimes. But there's other times that I go back and I go, dude, that was important to me 30 years ago. It's still important to me. I still would put a star by that. I would still highlight it. I would still underline it. It's still rocking my world. It's still changing my life. And I've discovered, and I know some of you have, the more you understand, the more you will understand. The more you put it into practice, the more you understand. This is how it works. If you use it, you keep it, right? And you know how this works with language. If you learn a new language, if you keep using it, you keep knowing it, and you'll get better and better, more and more prolific at it. But what happens if you learn a language, quote unquote, and then stop using it? You lose it. Or let's say you're working out. And, you know, you want to get all buff, and you just get, you know, really, you know, buff and good looking. But then you decide to stop lifting. What happens? You either use it or lose it. And so that's the next thing that Jesus says. But for those, so you can fill in that blank. But for those of you who are not listening, even what you think you understand, man, I don't like this verse. Even what you think you understand, it will be taken away from you. You'll lose it. You either use it or you lose it. So just like the first thing I said was true, that the more I read, the more I study, the more I live it, the more I obey it, the more I retain it, the more I persevere in it, the more I understand, this is also true. And it's a warning that Jesus is leaving us with. And I want to leave it with you today. If you don't use the word of God, if you don't obey the word of God, if you don't retain the word of God, if you don't come to humbly, if you don't come with the H-E-A-R, you're going to lose it. It's not a threat. It's just true, like the lifting weights and like the language. It's just true. And how does that work? Well, let me actually back up a slide and see this phrase, even what they think they understand will be, everybody say that next word with me. Taken. Does that remind you of anything? If you've been here the last 4 weeks, it should remind you of verse 12. Let's go back to verse 12. Because this word taken in verse 18 is also seen the exact same word in verse 12. Verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes, and there's our word, takes it away. So understand that God is not saying, and Jesus is not saying about God, that if you don't obey the word of God, I'm going to take it from you. That's not what God's saying. What's he saying? He's saying if you don't learn to live the hear life, the H-E-A-R, the humble openness, the eager acceptance, the active obedience, the retentive perseverance, if you don't learn to read the Bible, to hear the Bible that way, Satan will come and pluck it, take it away from you. That's why these two words in verse 12 and verse 18 go together. This is what happens. You know, nobody wants to have that word taken away, but that haunting phrase, even what they think they understand will be taken away. And now we know who takes it away. Why is that? Because you either use it or you lose it. Make sense? The word of God is not magic. It doesn't automatically do its thing. We have to cooperate with the word of God. We have to hear, humble ourselves, accept it, embrace it, obey it, persevere in it. But if we will, if we do, we will see up into verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, it yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. So you won't lose it. You'll grow, and you'll grow exponentially. And my guess is that most of us want to grow more than just a little. We want to grow a lot, because the wisdom that comes from growing in the Lord is so valuable. The maturity, the way it impacts your marriage, your relationships, the way it impacts your life by growing in the Word of God is incredible. But remember, I don't want anybody to think that, you know, if the, you know, one Sunday, if I don't pay attention, or one Sunday, if I don't go out and live it, you know, I'm going to lose everything. You know, I just, all this stuff I gain, I'm going to lose it. No, you're not going to lose it all in one day, just like you didn't gain it all in day, one day, right? Learning to hear this way, this method that I'm teaching you, is a process. Just like you don't throw a seed into the ground and the next day it's a 40-foot apple tree or 30-foot apple tree. In the same way, you don't grow in Christ overnight. Now, there may be some days, some nights, some periods where you grow faster, but learning to hear spiritual growth, it's a process. And we're going to need God's power in that process. But I also want to remind you that it's a process, because not only do you need God's power, there's something else that you're going to have to tap into, because since you're human like me, you and I will have days where we stumble and fall, right? I mean, right now, I'm so motivated. I'm preaching. I'm excited about it. And some of you are so motivated. You're like, yes, I want to grow in the Lord. Yes, but you're going to stumble and fall. There isn't anybody but Jesus who perfectly lives out God's path, God's way. And so when you stumble and fall in this, I want you to hear that you need the grace of God. I don't want this to get turned into a new version of works righteousness, where you're working so hard to hear that you almost think that if I don't work harder, I'm going to lose my salvation. No, that is not what we're talking about at all. When I say lose it, I'm saying that if you keep a hard heart, you don't do the H-E-A-R, you will eventually lose that truth. It'll be plucked out of your life. I'm not saying one sermon. So I'm also not saying, hey, I can just throw it away one sermon. No, come humble. Come every week. Come listening. Because the grace of God is at work in your life. Just like God's grace was working to save you, God's works, great grace is working to sustain you. Amen? That's why Paul says, be strong in the grace of God. So don't think that grace is something passive. No, Paul says, I strive with all the grace that God gives me. So see, grace is opposed to earning. You don't earn salvation, you don't earn growth. Grace is opposed to earning, but it's not opposed to effort. We must never define grace to mean that I just coast. I'm just passive. No, Paul strived. We work hard. We work with the grace of God. So you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. It's a process. Get back up. Tap into the grace of God and keep growing. Amen? Keep walking with him. And this is how I want to close the sermon. I have been praying for you, and I'm going to pray for you in a second, that you will accept the challenge, all of you, at every stage you are. Some of you are brand new Christians. I'm praying that you will develop a deep hunger for the Word of God, a passionate hunger for the Word of God. Those of you who are maturing, you're growing in the Lord, way to go. Keep growing. I'm going to pray for you that you will go deeper in your hunger for God. Those of you who might say are mature, I'm going to pray that you don't stop maturing, that you develop a deeper hunger. And those of you who are seasoned in the Lord, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, I'm going to pray for you that you will grow deeper in your hunger for God's word, so that every time it's preached, you're hearing the way Jesus taught us to hear. That you come every week because you're hungry to hear the word of God. And from the inside out, this hunger to know God's word, to live God's word, characterizes your life. And you no longer take it casually. Oh, I might hear, I might not. That every day you come to read the word, to deepen yourself in the word, and that you might grow. See, I'm all getting jacked up about, passionate about this, because this is what I want to see happen in your life. This is what God's doing in my life, this hunger for his word, because that's what will grow us. Amen? And as we live out that hunger, that from the inside out will this praise for God, this gratitude for God, this thanksgiving for his grace, and that we will mature and grow to the glory of God and to the that others around us might be helped. So let me pray. I already said what I want to pray. Now let me pray it. Oh, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, I'm inviting you, I'm pleading with you, would you work in us today so deeply that we cannot get away from these words, that once we hear, we become a light that shines, and that we might live out what we're hearing, what we're growing in on a daily basis. God, I pray that everyone in every stage of growth will be able to grow more deeply in their hunger for your word. Because this is how that works, Lord. The more I desire it, the more desire I have. The more hunger for the word, the more hungry I get. So, Lord, may we use it so we don't lose it. May we let our light shine. May we prove that we've heard you now as we live out your teaching, and as you grow us, and as we bring a great glory to your name. For we pray this in your name, Jesus. Everybody said, amen.